I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, I'm Diane Stemple, and this is Cutting the Curd. Today, I'm discussing the Cabot Creamery Cookbook with two people involved with the book and Cabot Creamery. I want to welcome both Margarita Martinez, host of Boston's WGBH's Neighborhood Kitchen, and also Craig Guile, senior cheese grater at Cabot Creamery. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Craig, are you here too?
Nice to meet you. Thank you again for the invite.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks both of you for being here. I understand you have met before?
Yes, we have. We met a while back, and I got a really great tasting demonstration from Craig, which was really wonderful.
Uh-huh. Now, you're not in the same place right now, though.
No, I'm in Boston.
No, we're not.
Okay, and you're in Vermont, Craig, right?
Yeah, I'm in the central Vermont.
Okay. So, well, let me tell you, the listeners, the subtitle of the book says it all. Simple, wholesome dishes from America's best dairy farms. Margarita, can you tell us how you first got involved with this project and where the recipes come from?
Sure. I got involved with this project. I've always been really passionate about food and travel, and I hosted a food and travel show, Neighborhood Kitchens, like you said, here based in New England. And Cabot Creamery and Time Inc. Oxmoor House Books, who published the book, contacted me about contributing some recipes and writing an intro letter and becoming the spokesperson. And I've always been a fan of Cabot products and their cheeses and also the heritage of the cooperative. Mm-hmm. So I heartily agreed to come on board and collaborate with it. And the recipes, there are 150 recipes from appetizers to desserts and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And the recipes come from different farm families who are profiled in the book that come from that are part of Cabot Cooperative from all over New England and also upstate New York. So there are those recipes, and then also the recipes come from Cabot employees, Cabot fans such as myself, local chefs who use Cabot products, and also even musicians like Grace Potter of Grace Potter and the Nocturnals has the recipes in here.
Ah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I know. She's got these baked macaroni cups, which are really great.
Cool.
So it's all basically like I like to think of it as a greatest hit of the different recipes that Cabot has been collecting over the years and that are just utilizing all of their really great products.
Great. Now, Craig, your newest title at Cabot Creamery Cooperative is New Products Business Partner. Craig?
Oh, sorry. I had the mute on. Senior cheese grater at Cabot Creamery.
And now your new products business partner?
Yes, I am.
Now, what can you tell our audience, what is a cheese grater and what are your new responsibilities?
All right. So I've been with the organization now for about 12 years. And at Cabot, we employ cheese graters. And our job is to... So we're making a lot of the different profiles that we make, like our year and a half old, our 2 year, our extra sharp, our hunters, seriously sharp. Mm-hmm. That's all made from the same kind of the same recipe.
Mm-hmm.
But and as you know, with cheese making, cheese can kind of go all over the place with different flavor profiles. So what we do is we have a group of cheese graters that define what we want to see in each profile, and it's our job to travel around to all of our factories and warehouses to cherry pick the cheese and kind of decide where it should go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have some new things up your sleeve for the new products business partner?
Yeah, we are working on a couple of things in behind the scenes. So hopefully over the next year you'll see some new ideas rolling out for us.
Okay.
Right now we're still just working with the last year we came out with our legacy line, which were three new higher end cheeses that we're trying to bring to the dairy section.
Okay. Now I saw a map of the farms on the website. Wow, they are sprinkled. The farm pictures and talking about the farms is sprinkled throughout the book, but the map shows what a great distance some of the farms are from each other. They're in very northern New York. They're near Ithaca. They're all the way through Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, and down in Connecticut and Massachusetts. Craig, do you visit the farms?
I don't get a chance to get out to them as much as I'd like. I actually was raised on a small family farm when I was younger, so I had a lot of experience with it.
Uh-huh.
But I do make it out occasionally, but I spend more of my time at the factories.
Okay.
But luckily for us, as you know, with milk quality concerns, it's you can't make a good culture product of cheese without good milk.
Right.
So we have we have a number of factories sprinkled about for our butter and cheese factories. So
mm-hmm.
they're spread out just enough where all of our farmer owners can get their milk to the factory in short order.
I was wondering, what are the logistics like in running such a cooperative? Does every farm ship every day?
I think for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And how do the farms join the cooperative? Can you still join?
Yes, you can. We still are accepting applications.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do have, again, we are a farmer-owned co-op, but we do have pretty high standards in what we expect from our farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an application process that they have to go through.
Mm-hmm. And do you know, like, the smallest amount of cows and the largest amount of cows a different farm would have?
I think with our largest amount, I think we're close to maybe around 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will have smaller farms that can be, around like the 15 to 20 cow mark.
Wow. Well, so those are very different places.
Yeah, it's all over.
And when the milk comes, is it all mixed together or some separate?
It usually comes in, depending on what the milk truck routes are,
mm-hmm.
they will mix milk as it comes in.
Uh-huh.
But,
they're picking it up.
We have a pretty strict quality procedures in place where, every place that we go to collect milk, we take milk samples with us, and not even once the milk gets commingled, there's no, it doesn't enter the factory until we do all the appropriate tests.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Do any of the farms make their own cheese?
We do have a couple of farmer owners that do make their own cheese.
Cool.
We do have a pretty strong partnership with Jasper Hill, and we do have one of our owners at Landoff Creamery does.
Ah, okay. I do a little bit of work for Jasper Hill as well, so I'm familiar with the Cabot Clothbound collaboration from way back. Margarita, do you know how the recipes were first recruited? Did people send their recipes in? How were they selected? Were they tested before they got into the book? Or
yeah, so like I said, I kind of think of them as the greatest hits. So some of them have been in Cabot's possession for a number of years, and it is sometimes it's people who submit their recipes. So these are ones that are the most popular and that they were tested by Cabot to be, to meet the standards and what they were looking for. And then also Cabot has, they collaborate with different chefs such as Jimmy Kennedy and Joshua Rollins, who have their own restaurants at Inns. And so they, work with them to come up with new recipes or to share their recipes that they use themselves in using Cabot. So, so it's kind of a range of that, and that's how they were selected for the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they've got got a stockpile of over 1,000 recipes that they have from people who have submitted or that they've worked with in order to come up with these recipes.
Mm-hmm. And like, for example, there are quite a few macaroni and cheese recipes, but I imagine there must be many more where that came from.
Oh, yes. So there are, I think there's about four macaroni and cheese recipes in here. Like, you've got your basic, one with butternut squash, mm-hmm. one with bacon and jalapenos. And then what I love about the book is that there are different sections. And then, what you know, there'll be like a grid that tells you, for instance, there's grilled cheese, and different farmers weigh in on how they like their grilled cheese. Mm-hmm. And with the macaroni and cheese, there's actually an inset that talks about where different farmers talk about how they like their macaroni and cheese. And I really liked that because I didn't think to put the horseradish cheddar in with my macaroni and cheese. And so I started to do that, and because I find the horseradish cheddar from Cabot to be really melty and uh-huh. soft, so it has a really nice consistency to melt with something that's a little sharper,
right.
seriously sharp. And so kind of to have those balance of flavors and put that in. So that's a little, you know, tidbit that I got, and I was like, I want to try that. I didn't think about putting that or putting garlic and herb cheese in there with
right.
my macaroni and cheese.
So even being involved in the book, you're getting tips from it.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
yeah,
great.
Were things I didn't think of doing that. Even with their Greek-style yogurt, there's a whole section on how to make different dips and spreads for your sandwiches or for parties and whatnot, and to think about how different ways that you can use the, you know, make labneh or to use the yogurt in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun, to a jumping off point.
Does every single recipe have cheese in it, or at least dairy products?
Every single recipe has dairy products in it, but that can range from butter to mm-hmm. yogurt and to cheese. The majority of them do have cheese,
right.
Which is really great. But there are things like Greek-style yogurt and fruit pancakes,
mm-hmm.
or there's also, I really like the maple cinnamon rolls from Mississauga Valley Farm, and those, you know, it's the butter, and then they also use a cream cheese kind of glaze on it, which Cabot also makes cream cheese, so...
Did you say meatball cinnamon rolls?
What did you say?
Did you say meatball cinnamon rolls?
Oh, no, I said maple.
Sorry. I was going to say, that one.
That'll be in the second book.
Right.
That one passed me by. There are meatballs, though, in the book.
Yes, there are
yeah.
some meatballs in there.
Yeah.
That is true.
And is there cheese in the meatball and sprinkled on top, probably?
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. I mean, some of the recipes just had a little cheese, but that's good because you want some, you know, you want some flexibility in a cookbook.
Right. That's how I feel, too. Yeah. I mean, there are some stews that just call for, you know, you can top it with cheese or, you know, just use a dollop of yogurt. So it's kind of, there's something, a little something for everybody and how much dairy they want to have or how little.
Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously no vegan, but there's some vegetarian.
Yes, there are a good number of vegetarian, especially
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of soups and, you know, and the macaroni and cheeses and grilled cheeses and things like that.
Right, right. Craig, do you cook from the book also?
I've started to. I actually just got my hands on the book a couple of weeks ago, so I've been putting it to good use.
Oh, good.
It's great because I go through a lot of different cheeses, so it's nice to always have extra ideas to go through all those little cheese bits that that end up accumulating on the door of the fridge.
That's good. That's good. Okay, well, I think we'll take our break now. This is Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd. We'll be back with Margarita Martinez and Craig Guile, both attached to the Cabot Creamery cookbook, and we'll be back real soon.
You are listening to Vroom Vroom by Ball of Flame, Shoot Fire. And this is Cutting the Curd on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
The Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board are proud to underwrite Cutting the Curd on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Wisconsin cheeses have an illustrious heritage of more than 170 years of quality and craftsmanship. During this long and rich history, the art and science of cheesemaking have been captured in time-honored traditions that produce cheese varieties of unsurpassed excellence. Today, Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country. To learn more, visit www.eatwisconsincheese.com.
Wow, I never heard that little group of girls advertising our network. Sounds great. Welcome back. Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And we're talking about the Cabot Creamery Cookbook today with Craig Guile and Margaret Martinez. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So I saw in the book that May Leach has a recipe in it for four-bean, four-pepper chili. And she is or was, I think, the Cabot cloth-bound cheesemaker. Has she retired?
She actually just retired at the beginning of the year.
Oh, okay. Do you know her?
Yes, I did. Yes, I do. She actually used to be my boss.
Oh, cool. She's a very nice woman.
Very excellent addition to Cabot.
Yeah, yeah.
She's really put us on the map.
As I said, you know, I work with Jasper Hill sometimes, so I've met her many times at American Cheese Society meetings or Fancy Food Show or whenever she was, you know, down in the city. And she had a younger sidekick. Did that person take over the cheese making, or who's making the Cabot cloth bound now?
Yeah, I think you're talking about Megan. Yeah, she's still with us, and she's taken on a lot of that role.
Okay. Were you...
She's kind of our head food scientist.
Okay. Were you at Cabot back when the collaboration with Jasper Hill started?
I was. I wasn't a part of any of that at that time. I was in a different role.
Mm-hmm. How, Craig, I have another cheese question for you. How has the recent FDA brouhaha and rulings been affecting your work at the farm?
So when a lot of that first came out, I mean, it a lot of people wound up and worked up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also a good reminder for us all to kind of take a look at our practices also.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I think a lot of people that really know about, you know, aging cheese on wood, that it really is, you know, if it's done right, it's not really that much of an issue. But mm-hmm. I can also understand how if you don't know anything about it or if your lack of knowledge is very extensive, how that could be... you know, you could think of, you know, why not just put it on stainless steel?
Right.
When, you know, somebody that's, you know, been making cheese for generations or even decades can identify pretty quickly why you can't do that
mm-hmm.
or how it would affect quality. So, you know, I think it was a good rallying point for not just the Vermont cheesemakers, but, with American Cheese Society did a lot of work in stepping up to the plate also on kind of showing the cheese maker perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it was, you know, again, it's if you look at it another good way, not only was it another way to engage with the FDA, but, you know, it's a good way to just kind of look at all your practices over again and
mm-hmm.
and just making sure all your ducks are in a row.
Right, right. How did you learn to be a cheese grater? What kind of schools did you go to?
So I started out at Cabot as a quality auditor,
mm-hmm.
and then after I originally got kind of assigned into the cheese grading role more just on taste buds alone.
Okay,
but so, I'm no means a super taster by any means.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had a lot of passion for it, and I think my taste buds were really stuffed to snuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I've done a lot of work with WCMA, with ACS. I've gotten some training from the University of Madison, Wisconsin. I've taken a lot of short courses with the Vermont Institute of Artisan Cheese in Vermont mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. With Guelph University in Ontario, Canada.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the classes called? What are the subjects that you take to get better at cheese grading?
I started out with... Wisconsin has a pretty excellent cheese grading short course,
mm-hmm.
but I would really recommend taking a lot of cheese making classes. And again, I'm knowing Mateo and Andy, I've been fortunate enough to be allowed to go up to the to the caves and to the creamery to be able to make cheese with them hands-on. Mm-hmm.
To see what the process is like, so then you know what you're looking for later and
yeah,
what's gone
exactly.
into it.
So, I mean, when you're talking about cheese, like, there's that romantic aspect where you're really trying to engage with the customer
mm-hmm.
and then talk to them about what's going on with the cheese. And then, with cheese grating on the other end of it, there's that more technical aspect where you're trying to play detective. So you want to be able to, to pick up those flavors and body issues that are going on and be able to trace it back to what's going on with the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Do you offer any apprenticeships in cheese grating at Cabot?
We haven't. We do, again, I'm kind of always available for any little events that we come up for. So I have done little speeches and cheese grating quite a few times, just kind of showing people a little behind the scenes of what's going on
mm-hmm.
on the hand cheese collection and just, how you use these clues to communicate back to the cheesemakers and, just to make a better product or a more consistent product.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A question for both of you. I don't know if either of you will know the answer to this. Do the farmers in the cooperative ever all get together?
Yes, they definitely do.
Even all of them from?
I don't know about every single one of them, but there's definitely groups that get together. They do have a lot of meetings.
Right? Are they like official meetings that they're required to attend?
I don't know if they're required to attend. I think most of them want to attend because,
okay.
Just to have a role in governing the co-op.
Mm-hmm. And are there also social functions? Do they have like a summer picnic or?
Well, I know they do have. A lot of our farmer owners tend to like to engage with our customers. So we do have some farmer days
uh-huh.
where a number of our farmers will open up their farms to the public, and we'll do a big organized event where you'll be able to go onto our website, and we'll be able to show you what farms are organized.
Okay, sort of
open
like
to the public. So
similar
that's
to
a
the
great time.
Similar to the Vermont Cheese Trail, but just seeing the dairies.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then outside of that, I know a lot of them. I mean, just when it comes to communicating, we have a pretty dedicated group of field reps that work for the company and work for the farmer owners
mm-hmm.
that monitor all the quality, and they act as a good conduit in between the farmers, being able to communicate what each group is seeing.
Mm-hmm. Is there a closer core group mile-wise that's, all close to the main Cabot farm and socialize or get together more frequently?
I'm not quite sure. It seems like from the meetings that I've been to, it's all a pretty tight-knit group, and
mm-hmm.
Each region really knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't just the one main like Cabot plant. Like we have another large plant in Middlebury and another one, and we have a butter plant in Massachusetts. And another plant in New York. So
okay.
Yeah, it's what's great about it is each region of our farmer owners tend to be somewhat close to cheese.
Oh, okay. So, and then those plants can sort of act like a hub?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're definitely always open to any of our farmer owners that want to come
mm-hmm.
and visit, or if they have mm-hmm. any questions, they definitely know who to come to.
Are there other cooperatives of dairy farmers in the country?
Yeah, all throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. As big?
I think there's a number that are either bigger or bigger.
Okay. Now, you said before that all the milk gets mixed. What about the types of cows? Does all that get mixed?
It does get mixed.
Okay.
So we have, we do have, I think for the majority of what we're going to have around here are mostly Holsteins and Jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
So that does have to be accounted for, with the cheesemakers.
Mm-hmm. I'm more familiar with more small scale artisan cheese making. So they like to name, not only name their cows, but just have one kind of cow and milk and the cheese. So that's different for me.
Yeah, I mean it's great sometimes with a smaller scale where you can really kind of hone into exactly what cheese you want to make and then kind of pick the right cow for that
mm-hmm.
for that right cheese is always great. I mean, when the co-op started, it was more on, how can we, basically produce an award-winning product out of the milk that our farmers supply us. So.
Right. And what is the legacy collection going to be? Will that be a single farm?
So the Legacy Collection,
or?
It's out right now. We actually have, it's four items.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the ones that jump out, you know, talking about the cookbook like this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had an opportunity to try our Alpine cheddar, but it's kind of a fun take on Alpine cheeses where we basically have a very similar make to cheddar.
Uh-huh.
And it has a very similar body feel to it, a very similar aged cheddar flavor to it.
Uh-huh.
But it's got those really strong nutty sweet notes that you'd find in a lot of Alpine cheeses.
Okay.
And it also has that softer body like a cheddar would have, but it also has that kind of like aged cheddar tyrosine crunch that mm-hmm. you typically mm-hmm. either don't see in cheese until 2 or 3 years.
Right. Now, does that make it similar to Cabot Cloth Bound?
Actually, so we have another one called White Oak.
Okay.
That's very similar to the Cloth Bound, and that's made with a very similar formula.
Uh-huh.
So instead of having normally with our Cabot fuses, we have that really upfront, kind of really sharp acidity to it.
Yes.
And this one tends to have a little more balanced acidity in the background, more of an upfront sweetness.
Okay.
Somewhat similar to the Cloth Bound.
Okay. When I demo the Cloth Bound, I usually yell into the grocery store, sweet and nutty.
And we also have cheese.
Yeah, right.
Right. Anyway, so Margarita, did you fall in love with cheese in particular or all kinds of food? How did you start on the food path?
All kinds of food. I mean, I think probably what kind of got me started on food was travel and just traveling mm-hmm. to different countries and trying different street food or eating in people's homes and trying new things and then trying to replicate that in my kitchen or find those ingredients when I come back stateside. So that kind of piqued my interest in trying things. And I think also growing up in a multicultural family where my mom was French, German, and Polish and my dad was Puerto Rican and kind of, you know, bridging that gap or having, you know, dinner was very, had a wide variety. So that's kind of how I got into it and then just my curiosity and going from there.
Uh-huh. Did your dad cook or did your dad teach your mom some recipes?
Funny you should mention that. So my mom is an excellent cook,
uh-huh.
But she worked late during the weeks. So my dad would cook during the week, and he really didn't enjoy it. It wasn't so much that she was teaching my mother, but my mother would learn with his mother. So
uh-huh.
she would teach her all the recipes that she had, you know, using things like, this is the cup I have. It's not a measuring cup, but it's like the metal cup that's missing its handle, that this is the right amount of rice that you use.
Right.
You know.
In this pot.
Right, exactly. In this pot, just like this, you know. So she passed on those recipes to my mother. And when my mother met my father, she just like fell in love with the food, so she was really hungry to learn those recipes and bring them into our house. So that was really something I benefited from my grandmother and my mother.
Ah, so your dad was lucky. He got to keep eating the food he wanted.
Yes, and still to this day, it's really hard for him to eat a meal without rice and beans. If they're not on the table, it doesn't matter. He's like, where are my rice and beans?
He just wants it along with.
Yes.
Craig, did you fall in love with cheese or food first?
I've always tinkered around with food a little bit, but mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think since I've really kicked up my cooking game, I think I was in love with cheese first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we mention all the different the great mac and cheese recipes in here, it's I've really learned how to get experimental with some of those recipes by just the amount of different cheeses that I buy.
Oh, that's good. That's mm-hmm. good. So what are your non-Cabot favorite cheeses, may I ask?
Within Vermont, I'm a huge fan of a lot of obviously what Jasper Hill does and mm-hmm. What Vermont Creamery is doing. Mm-hmm. They're doing some excellent. If I wasn't in cheddar, I think I'd be a big Gouda fan.
Ah, okay.
And I know I'm a big fan of Marique's in Wisconsin. She's
okay.
doing some really interesting work.
Aged? Sweet and nutty?
sweet and nutty. One thing I've always appreciated with Gouda, it is similar to cheddar. You know,
right.
So many different profiles
right.
that you can really enjoy.
Right. And what about European cheeses? Where would your favorites be?
That's where I go to still look at a lot of different blues.
Okay.
I've always been a fan of.
How about you, Margarita?
I'm actually a really big fan of Narragansett Creamery, which is out of Narragansett, Rhode Island.
Right.
So I love their ricotta, especially with some honey on it.
Mm.
And I really like their mozzarella that they make along with. They have a queso fresco that I really like. So those are some ones that I really like to indulge in here. And then I'm a big fan of Gorgonzola, also with honey, if it's on a cheese plate. So, and I really like blues and things like that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, I want to thank you both for coming on the show and talking about this book. It's really a fun book, and it's also got great stories of farmers sprinkled in the recipes, and I recommend it for any cheese lovers or for anyone interested in reading about dairy farms. Thank you, Craig Guile and Margarita Martinez. And this is Cutting the Curd, and we'll be back in a month talking about another book. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.